Hey guys, thanks for joining us here at PassionChurch.com. We pray that this word blesses your heart and your life. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, hey, we want to encourage you to give to what's given to you and to feed what's feeding you. The easiest way to do that is to simply text PassionChurch to 77977. And I want to say thank you to all of you who give generously to help us fund the ministry here at Passion Church. Share this word with your friends and your family. God bless you. Thank you so much for your generosity. Let me start off by saying, 16 years ago, around 8:45 a.m. on September 11th, I believe it was Flight 11 from American Airlines, left Boston, crashed into the World Trade Centers, and changed how we see life in America. And I can remember exactly where I was. And I'm sure you, how many people can remember where you were when that happened? And we had to rethink the fight we are in as a nation. And we as a nation had fought other nations and countries. We had fought Japan. We had fought, you know, Germany, World War I, World War II. And we had fought for land that was not even our own as a nation. And we were used to fighting governments, but this time we were fighting something that we had never fought before. And we were fighting an idea. An idea. Fighting a thought that led to the destruction of thousands and thousands of lives. And suddenly we found ourselves in an ideological battle of such magnitude that it left us rethinking, how do you fight an idea? You can't sanction an idea. You can't go to the UN and have a meeting about an idea. You can't hold a G8 summit about an idea because ideas don't respect nations and governments and laws and treaties and creeds. And then we went further and we started to look at it and research and we started to come up with what we thought a terrorist looked like. So we presented that to people and we said, this is what a terrorist looks like. And then all of a sudden the terrorists started changing colors. And we realized that terrorism is not an ethnicity. That we are not in a fight with an ethnicity, that we are in a fight with an idea. And I would suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, that just as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. We're under attack. In our minds and in our emotions. I don't know if you can see it, but I see it every day. I see people dropping like flies. I see pastors dropping. I see leaders falling, marriages falling, relationships falling, families falling. And we're fighting. And what we're fighting is an idea, an ideological war. Radicalization occurs with the infiltration of an idea. And the war continues in our mind. For simple things like peace. Mm-hmm. People would like to have some peace, right? Just some peace. I got five kids, I just want some peace, Jesus. You know, and as a society, it's like we can do really complicated things well. We can do really, really complicated, we can do things like create phones. I mean, this is hard to do. There's more technology in here than we put the man on the moon with. You know, this is 1,000 times bigger than my first computer. Anybody remember dial-up? I mean, I can take a picture with this, high def, edit it with filters, make myself look skinny and flawless, be the person that I want to be. Right? And then I can upload it instantly to social media networks that we are connected around the world and thousands of people can see it in seconds. That's hard to do. Amen. We can do all kinds of complicated things well as a society, but we can't do simple things well, like sleep. We can't sleep. We can't decide what sex we are. These should be simple things. I right about it? These things shouldn't be difficult for us to decide. We should be able to decide these things. But it's hard. It's difficult. It's challenging for us to be able to decide these things. And it affects our boldness. It affects our confidence. We're in a fight for our families, our marriages, and your future's up under attack. And there's no need in setting the alarm on the house because, the alarm will not detect this kind of infiltration. No need in getting a gun because you cannot kill a thought with a pistol. We're engaged in a fight over ideas. And every single one of us is in hand-to-hand combat with a thought. Black, white, brown, skinny, and the rest of us. So let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's look at this for a minute. Go with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter. Let's go chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul starts speaking here in verse 1. He says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in present am base among you, but absent, I'm bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with the confidence wherein I think to be bold against some who think that we are walking according to the flesh." Some people think we're walking according to the flesh, but though we walk in the flesh, I'm in a body. Come on, say amen about that. How many of you are in a body? You better say amen or you're in a body. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So even though I'm in a body, my fight is not with a body. I'm in this body. I'm in the flesh, but I'm not fighting in the flesh.
Right. Come on.
All right? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal like carnivorous, carnal meaty, fleshly like a carnivorous animal, fleshly eating animal. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly, but they are mighty through God. To the pulling down of what? Stronghold. You don't need a weapon for a weak hold.
Right.
You need a weapon for a strong. Somebody's going to get a stronghold taken down today.
Hallelujah.
I don't know who it is in here. God's going to set you free from a stronghold today.
Right.
In the name of Jesus. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down, listen now, casting down imaginations. You're in a fight with an imagination. Casting down, like I cast that bottle of water down. I cast it. It's easy to cast because it's an object. But how do you cast down a thought? How do you throw down an idea? How do you throw down an imagination? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself, that exalts. That sounds like Satan in Isaiah. I will exalt myself. I will be like the Most High. See, Satan is after what you know about God.
Right.
See, let me just make, you know things about God.
Right.
For instance, you know God's a healer. You know he can. You know that God is a provider. You know that God's a way maker. You know that God can do miracles. But when you face this crisis, he will bring imaginations that make you question what you already know about your God. Let me say it this way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not death that I'm afraid of. It's that shadow. It's that looming fear of what could happen that is terrifying my soul. And how do you get a shadow anyway? A shadow happens when Satan places an object in front of the light of Christ. It becomes that shadow of death. And it's that looming, nebulous shadow of death that becomes fearful, that becomes this imagination. And could it be possible that you were up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning wrestling with ghosts? That you can't sleep at night fighting over the thoughts of what could happen. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And he'll just come and tell you. He'll come and he will just come to you and lie to you. And the Bible says you have to bring every thought, look at it, every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. We're going to lock up a thought. Arrest a thought. If you're taking notes, write this down. I want you to write down two words, belief systems. I want you to write that down. Because kingdoms are derived of belief systems. Democracy is a thought. It's just an idea. It's not a place. It has no address. It has no bank account. It's an idea. What establishes the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God is an idea. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness. The darkness comprehended not. And then it crescendos in verse 14 and says, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. And we beheld the wonder of his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Physical sermons. The abstract was made concrete. The intangible was made tangible. Physical sermons. He didn't have a word. He was the Word. He didn't have a sermon. He was a sermon. If he showed up, it was a sermon. And the church went through all kinds of things. You know, the church went through all kinds of seasons where we understood the global church. Went through this season of name and claim it, put it on the wall and frame it. And just, if you said it, it was going to happen. And, you know, it was that whole, the church has this tendency. If you watch the church globally, the church is like a pendulum. And Christ, the gospel, is the center. And if you watch the church will swing way out on prosperity. And if you wait a couple years, it'll come right back to the cross. And then you wait, and it'll go way out on the Word. And then you wait, it'll come right back to the cross. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you have been saved long enough to understand what I'm saying? Okay, and so the church got into this whole name it and claim it, and, you know, because we understood the power of a word. We got this revelation from God about the power of the word. And so people was driving cars they couldn't pay for and homes they couldn't pay for. They forgot to claim the word for the money. They forgot to use the word, give us the money for the home, but they had homes they couldn't buy. It was a mess. It was a mess. And so, but they got it because they understood the power of the word, but they didn't understand that the word logos, which means word, in the Greek, it literally goes deeper than word. It literally means a thought. Yes. Somebody say a thought. A thought. So listen to me. This is very important for you to get. If you are confessing with your mouth things that you do not believe in your heart, okay, then your words don't have any power because they are not germinated from a place of sincere thought. Okay? So you can be saying things about yourself that negate the birth of the thing you say because it does not have the soil of a belief system to flourish in. The belief system has to validate what you're saying. You can't just say it if you don't believe it. That's why in order to be saved, it says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has risen Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. And the challenge is you're saying I'm whole, but you're thinking I'm sick.
Come on.
You're saying I'm free, but you have the belief system of I'm still bound. Right. And you are where you are, doing what you are, like you are, in the situation like you are, not because of anything you said out of your mouth, but because of the belief system you have in your life. And Jesus came to challenge their belief system. Look at what, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. See, love is manifested in giving. Don't tell me you love anything that you don't give anything to. Love makes you give. Don't tell me you love this church and you don't give to this church. You don't love this church. You love something else. You don't love this. Because love makes you give. Don't tell me you love your wife and you don't give none to her. Don't tell me you love your husband. You don't give none to him. Father's Day next Sunday. Don't tell me you love your kids and you don't give none to your kids. Love makes you give. For God so loved that he... See, everybody in here is tithing. Everybody. All of you are tithing. Everybody's given 10% to something. It's just a matter of who's your God. Everybody's tithing, just everybody's not tithing to God. But you're still tithing. Thank you, Maple Grove. All right? So what is Jesus saying in this? He says, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He's attacking their belief system that stops you from being free. What do you believe about God? What do you believe? What do you believe about God? Is it a baptism? Is it a communion? Is it a confession? What do you believe about God? Because it has everything in the world to do with your relationship with him. It has everything to do with whether or not you worship him. See, let me say it. I gotta say it different. A lot of us have a hard time worshiping God, and you're still not comfortable with worshiping God because You don't believe he's there.
Yes, sir.
So when we get together in church like this, you don't feel comfortable really worshiping or even praying because it's hard to talk to someone you're not aware of. And if you don't really believe he's there, you'll feel awkward in worship. You'll feel awkward in prayer because who am I talking to? Is he even hearing this? What's happening here? And you're gonna feel, what do you believe? Do you believe that God is for you? Or do you believe God's gonna get you? Some people think God's still trying to get revenge on them. Someone's belief system is God doesn't like you no way, and he's just waiting on you to mess up so he can take you out. And you don't feel loved or welcomed by him, and it is hard. How can you come boldly to a God that you don't feel welcomed by? Let's go deeper, because when you start dealing with belief systems are hard to fight. They're hard to fight because belief systems cause you to be angry at people who abused you, raped you, molested you, divorced you, left you hurting and wounded and bleeding, and belief systems many times can make you feel like you are worthless because they said you were worthless. And that person has moved on and gone on or is dead, and you're still trapped over the system of what they said to you. And what's left on you is not semen, but a belief system. Am I helping anybody in here? Everything else you can get rid of, everything else you can wash away, everything else you can move on, but a belief system is the thing that you struggle with. It starts in a third grade teacher who says you're stupid and you're dumb and you'll never be anything and why don't you do your schoolwork and you're just like your daddy. And you can't sing, that's why you don't, because they told you you couldn't. And you don't realize it, but it creeps into your thoughts. It creeps into your mind, and now you don't sing with your kids because somebody told you you couldn't. And am I helping anybody? So it's not just what do you believe about God? It's not what you believe about God that's the problem. It's what you believe about you. This is why church doesn't work for a lot of people. The reason church doesn't work for a lot of people is because the church is always telling you what you should believe about God. But they never stop and help you to realize what you should believe about you. Am I helping anybody? It's not just what do I need to know about God, it's what do I need to know about myself. And so you believe that God can do anything, but you don't believe you can. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me, but Christ can't strengthen an I that can't do. Before God can strengthen anybody, you got to believe that you can. That's the problem. You believe God, you're sitting here today believing God can do anything, but you don't believe you can. And so you got to, through Christ, but you don't have an I can. So belief systems are important because if you don't change the belief system, you can't help a person. I am standing up here right now trying to get you to change how you think. Amen. I'm counseling you today. Right. I'm trying to help you. Have you ever tried to help a person?
Yes.
But if you don't change how they think, giving them money doesn't help them.
Right.
Giving them a home or giving them a car, or giving them anything doesn't help them if you don't change how they think. We made this mistake as a nation with HUD programs. And we thought if we can get low-income housing for everybody, then we can solve poverty in this nation. But it doesn't work because when you just get a bunch of poor people together and all they see is poor people, they can't get out. It's not about putting poor people together, because if all poor people see is poor people, then they can't be free. Because if all poor people see how poor people think and poor people do and poor people act and poor people live, then what you did for good becomes a ghetto.
Amen.
And they found out later that mixed income housing provides much better results, because I don't care how poor I am, if I can live next to a doctor, if you put me next to a lawyer, if I can see an entrepreneur, I don't care how poor I am, if I can see anybody that got out, then I can get out. Oh God, am I helping anybody? So belief systems are reinforced by association. Belief systems are reinforced by association. In order to break belief systems, you have to be willing to become uncomfortable. You have to. So to all of you who only feel comfortable being around people who are into what you're into, you have a ghetto. You need diversity in the community of your thoughts and your world to irrigate your mind with sound reasoning and power, or you will be captured or held or imprisoned by the systems of which you believe. Am I helping anybody in here? To all of you single girls who hang with single girls all the time, that be culture, and you take their advice. How are you gonna tell me how to be a wife? And you lost four husbands. You sitting up angry, girl, child. Let me tell you, a man gonna be a man, gonna be a man, and you telling me. That's why you lost your man. I'm telling you, you better hang around some people who have been married and still married. Oh. Write this down. A belief system is something that you tell yourself over and over and over again without your lips moving. See, because when you talk to me, you talk good. When you talk to me, you talk right.
Uh-huh.
So it's not what you're saying to me that's killing you.
Yes, go ahead.
It's what you say to yourself.
Come on.
That's killing you.
Right.
Your belief system is making you sick.
Yeah.
It's
good.
And telling you what you can't do. You get to a certain age and you're like, well, I'm just old. I'm just old. And that's just how it is now. I'm telling you, you can just get to a certain age and go, I'm old.
Yeah.
I feel old and your back's going to hurt. And then you're going to reinforce that you're old. And then you're going to just get around a bunch of old people and get a recliner and just reinforce, I'm just old. I'm going to sit here and wait to die. And you're going to die if you don't get around some people who challenge how you think and get around 80-year-olds that are running for Congress. And you go, I got to get away from these people that are making me feel old or broke or lonely or angry or bitter or frustrated. You got to break out of that. You got to get around people that challenge how you think. You are where you are because of the way you think. Well, I'm just keeping it real. Well, keeping it real is keeping it broke. And keeping it real has been keeping you lonely. You need to change real. Well, that's just how I am. You need to take that little that's how I am card and cut that sucker up. And you throw that out as this little visa. Well, that's just how I am. And you label yourself. But when you label yourself, you limit yourself.
Yes, that's right.
How can you not get it? So the iPhone gets 7 upgrades and you get 1?
Come on.
Change.
Good.
Upgrade yourself. Educate yourself. I don't know who I'm talking to. I know I'm talking to somebody. But I'm serious. Shake yourself out of it. Shake yourself out of it. Shake yourself out of all of these negative voices that imprison you and sing again and shout again and laugh again and love again and run again. What do you believe about you? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about your life? Well, that's just how it is. Then that's how it is. If you just go, well, that's just how it is, then that's how it's always going to be. You've got to change how you see it.
Yes.
If you don't get around people that challenge you and challenge how you see God and challenge how you see yourself and challenge how you see life, you're going to be stuck with your broke self or your rich self or your lonely self or your pretty self, but you're still stuck. And you are stuck when nobody challenges your belief systems. Jesus said it. Jesus, that's why they hated Jesus. That's why some of y'all mad at me now, because I'm challenging your belief system. Jesus challenged it. He said, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. What is he doing? He's challenging what they believe.
Yes, that's right.
Don't tell me I can't heal on the Sabbath. I'm God of the Sabbath.
Right? Right.
Don't put me in your rules and your Bible. Well, this is how it is at our church. How old is the church? How can your church be the church? How old is the church? What was God doing before the church? Get me upset. It's too fast. Jesus said, I'm Lord over your regulations. I'm God over your rules. I bring up one, cast down another. I look beside me. There is none beside me. I alone am God, and besides me, there is no other.
Yes.
Understand that, because there are two opposing ideas that are in a warfare that are engaged for you right now. Two opposing ideas fighting for you right now.
Right.
I'm telling you. That. Have you ever wondered how you can be so spiritual and so carnal?
Yep. Yeah. Come on.
I know you can't look at me and just as phony as you can be. You don't understand. Is there any real Christians in here that can just admit to people, yeah, how can I be so spiritual but then be so carnal in this area? Because you got two opposing ideas fighting for you. I'm telling you. It's a real battle. Got people coming to church, they act spiritual, act like they got it all together. And just as crazy as a bed bug. And phony as you can be. Coming here looking like Deacon Wilson and you really nasty Nathan. You in an argument with your own thoughts. You having a conversation. Deacon wants to shut up. We going to church. And nasty Nathan's going, did you see her? All of it sitting in there. I know you can't say amen or nothing. I shouldn't have said that. People are thinking I don't have... Actually, my brothers and sisters, when you consider the complexities and the dichotomies of the ideologies, there are some extremities to the sanctity of the particular position in which this perpetrator suggested that they had a legitimate conversion experience brings about some real concerns, and I can do good too, but the reality is Freaky Freddy and Slick Willie are all in here together. And if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, you better say amen. Because you know you don't want your life to flip up on these little screens. God and Satan are sitting around having a conversation about Job. And God says, if you consider my servant Job, and he goes, you know I can't touch Job. You got a hedge around Job. You know, I can't. Do you know that there are some people that God has a hedge around that Satan cannot touch? Just some people, Satan can't just, he can't do nothing with them. Because God's just got a hedge around them. And Satan goes, yeah, I consider him, but you know I can't do nothing because you got this hedge around him. And so they start having this conversation. Job's not even in the discussion. They're having a conversation. I wonder if there's been some conversations about you. I'm serious. I wonder if there's been some conversations about you and you don't even know it. And Satan goes, if you move the hedge, I'll make Job curse you to your face. And God's like, please. He says, I'll move it, but you can do anything, but you can't touch his soul. And he started attacking. Job lost everything. Everything's a lot. Job lost everything, but he didn't lose his integrity. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes. He spoke highly about God. Somebody say amen. Yes. Because Satan wanted to make him curse God to his face. He wants to make you curse God to his face. Mm-hmm. Why I brought that up is because I want you to see is that Job is not the fight. Job is the territory of the fight. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? There's a fight going on for you. There's a fight going on for you. Your past and your future are arguing for you. Your past is saying, I own that boy. I own him. He'll never get away. And when your past, listen to me, when your past wants to control you, it gives you a memory. But when your future wants to pull you, it gives you a dream. Yes. And your dreams are fighting with your memories.
So good.
God, I don't know who I'm preaching to. Am I helping anybody in here? Your dreams are fighting with your memories. And if I ask you questions, which one you're listening to the most, I can tell you why you are where you are in your life right now. Every time you listen at your memories, you shrink and you wither. Every time at your dreams, you grow. That's why when everybody leaves here today and you get in your car, you got a great big windshield and a little bitty rearview mirror. The reason the windshield's so much bigger than the mirror is because where you're going is more important than where you've been. And if you keep staring in that mirror, you're going to crash. You just go up to somebody and talk about it, and all they do is tell you what they see in their mirror, because they have no hope and no dream for the future, because their past is trying to recapture them with memories. Oh God!
Come on.
If your mind is always on where you've been, you'll never get where you're going. If your mind is on where you're going, you'll never be held by where you've been. Two thoughts fighting for your territories, your memories and your dreams. That's why when you stop dreaming, you start dying.
That's good.
You got to have something you're hoping for. When I do my one-on-ones with my staff almost every week and I talk to them, I always ask them this question: what do you have coming up that you're looking forward to? What are you looking forward to? Because if they don't have anything that they're looking forward to, they're dying.
Yep. Yep.
What are you dreaming about? What's the next thing in your life that you're looking forward to?
Vacation.
One person knows. You got to have something that you are looking forward to. We're not warring after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through what? Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. It's not, you're not going to fix this with a fleshly answer. That's why you're not going to get a new woman and solve the problem. The answer is not a new wife. The answer is not a new husband. It's not a fleshly problem. If you are dysfunctional single, you're going to be dysfunctional married. You're not fighting a fleshly fight. You are fighting an idea. An idea got in that wedding dress with you. An idea wore the veil on the same day you did. An idea got into those stiletto heels and walked down the aisle. An idea, and you said I do to the idea that you didn't get rid of. It's the idea. You birthed kids into that idea. You married into a family that had an idea over the family, and you are still wrestling with the residue of leftover ideas. And what I'm trying to get you to see is your past and its pain are fighting for control of your mind. Your future and your dreams are telling you, psst, it's over here. It's over here.
Yes,
and your mind and your memories are trying to pull you to where you've been. And your future and dreams are saying, it's over here.
Right. Come on.
And we are stuck in a fight between two ideas. And even Jesus had to go through it. He said, Father, if it be thy will, pass this bitter cup from me. Not my ideas, but thine be done. Your ideas be done. The writer in Hebrews says that he didn't want to go to the cross, but for the joy that was set before him, the dream that was before him, pull him. God, help me preach this better. He didn't want to go to the cross. But look how Jesus talks before he goes to the cross. He says, if you destroy the temple in 3 days, I'll raise it back up.
Right.
He's thinking about getting up. Even when he's at the Last Supper with the communion, he says, hey, I will not do this again with you until I do it with you in my Father's house. He's thinking about the future.
Right.
You're not worried about the cross? No, I'm thinking about what's to come. I'm thinking about what we're going to do when I get up from the grave. See, your mind is going, oh, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. There's no way. I couldn't make it. It was going to be terrible. They're going to whip me. They're going to hit me. They're going to scar me. They're going to spit on me. They're going, oh, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. He's thinking about, hey, when we get to heaven, I'll do this with you there. I'm going to raise up in 3 days. He's thinking about what's going to, his dreams are pulling him. That's how he could endure the cross, because the joy that was set before him. You got to have something in front of you to pull you through the crucifixions of life.
That's right.
You can't focus on the memory. You got to focus on the dream. That's how he endured it. That's how you're going to endure it.
Right. That's it.
That's how he made it. It's the same way you're going to make it. He said, if I got to go through this to get to that, it's going to be worth it. If I got to go through this to get to that, it's going to be worth it. If I got to go through this to get to that, it's going to be worth it. If I got to go through this to get to that, it's going to be worth it. Because when you lose your that, you've lost the fight with your this.
Yes.
You got to have something on the other side. I'm telling you, if you're looking back, all you're going to see is pain.
Yep.
If you look forward, you're going to see joy.
Excellent.
I'm not saying you're not going to have some stuff to crucify.
Right.
You're going to have to crucify some things. But you're going to be able to go through it for the joy
yes.
that's set before you. And a lot of people, I got to wrap up. Come play some for me. But a lot of people, let me tell you why a lot of people are leaving church. A lot of people are leaving church in this nation because they're leaving church because they came to church looking for answers. And they worshiped, they danced, they shouted, they prayed, they had an experience in their heart and in their spirit that was real. But because the war is in their mind, if you don't change your mind, you will never be free. Let me show you what he said in Romans. Romans 12, 1. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service.
Come on.
Not exceptionable.
Right.
This is your reasonable service. And then he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your renewing of your mind. The Bible says it is with the mind that we serve the Lord. You are where you are because of the way you think.
That's right.
You are where you are because of the story you tell yourself. Listen to me. There is a woman inside of you that your kids and family and neighbors don't know. There is a man, a new man, that your family has never seen. There is a new woman that you and your family and friends have never seen. Somewhere down inside of you, I'm telling you, somewhere at your core, there is someone down inside of you screaming, let me out. Let me out. And you know it because every now and then you hear her voice. And you know you're not supposed to be the way that you are. And you feel like you got everything you need to bake the cake. I got the eggs and the flour and the sugar and the vinegar and the water. I just need somebody to help me put this sucker together. And if I could get this put together, I feel like I could run through troops and leap over walls and become who God has called me to be. I feel like I got this thing inside of me called potential. It's down in me, and I'm not okay to go through another day like I went through today, and I'm not okay to get up at this hour and go to bed at that hour, and every day looks like the day before because there's this thing down in me that makes me wrestle with who I am. I'm not okay to stay the way I am like I am because it's down in me at my core. I feel it. I hear it saying, let me out. Let me out. Let me out. And she is held, and he is held in there with chains, and they are bound by the chains of bad ideas, and stinking thinking has them bound, and they are screaming, let me out. And there was this woman in the Bible. I don't know her name. Because the Bible doesn't give her name.
Right.
It just says, the woman with the issue of blood.
Yep.
And she was sick 12 years. You know, if you're sick 12 years, you look sick.
Right.
And the Bible says that she had done everything that sick people do. She was bleeding. She was bleeding physically, financially. The Bible says she spent all of her money on worthless physicians. Think about how much money you spend on people that care nothing about you.
Come on.
Buying stuff to impress people that you don't like and don't like you. She has spent all her money on worthless physicians, bleeding physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. And the Bible says that she heard that Jesus was passing by.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
I want my whole band to come up here. Not my singers, just my band. She heard Jesus was passing by. Passing by. Uh-huh. This is a moment.
Right.
So you got to recognize when God has a moment for you. An opportunity.
That's right.
An opportunity. Does anybody know about what I mean by opportunity? Opportunity. Opportunity is busy. Opportunity, it's not like opportunity is just going to come down and sit down next to you and say, I'm your opportunity.
Right.
So just you know, do whatever you want to do. I'll just wait on you. Just do whatever you want.
That's good, Jonathan.
Opportunity is busy. And if you won't take it, it'll come get you. And if you won't take it, it'll come get you. Opportunity is looking for something. Jesus was passing by. And the Bible says that she heard it. And she made a decision. She had told herself a story for 12 years.
Right, come on.
12 years she had said, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die like this. I'm going to die like this. I've tried everything. Everything's failed. And the idea of I'm going to die got into a fight with the idea of Jesus passing by. And the idea started fighting in her mind.
Yes.
And she was sitting in church around a bunch of church people, and Jesus was passing by, and she made a conscious decision in a moment to change the story she told herself.
Yes.
God. Yes. She said, she could have said, I don't want to bother Jesus, just leave Jesus alone. But she said, nope. I'm going to change the story. I'm going to change the story I tell myself. And the Bible says she said within herself.
Yes. Come on.
God.
Come on.
God. And she reached out. She got down on her hands and knees. And she looked through the crowd and she could see Jesus. But there was all these church people that were in front of her and Jesus. And she said, if I just got to get below church people, and there's all these church people stopping me. I'm telling you what, sometimes church people will stop you from getting to Jesus more than anybody else in the world can stop you from getting to Jesus. Listen to me, church people. And she said, there's Jesus. I'm going to get to him. And she got down on her hands and knees. So she was willing to humble herself.
Yes.
Because your healing is in your humility. And look at what she did. The Bible says that she reached out and she touched the hem of his garment. Right? That's what it said. She touched the hem of his garment. Now, Jesus is there, and Jesus had a robe on, and the fringe of the robe, because he was a priest, the fringe of the robe was called the tzitzit. And it was symbolic of the word of God. So when she reached out, she touched the word. Do you understand? The word. She touched the word. She had the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the
word.
The word was made flesh, and we beheld the wonder of his glory. She had the faith to reach out and touch the word. But the Bible says she touched the fringe. But Jesus said, who touched? He says, who touched me? Because the word became flesh. She touched the, when you reach out and touch the word, he said, somebody touch me. Somebody touch me. And the disciples said, what you talking about? Everybody touching you. Everybody touch. He said, no, somebody touch me. Because I felt healing and virtue flow out of me. She touched the word. She got down on her knees and she said to herself, remember I taught you a belief system is what you say over and over and over and over again to yourself without moving your lips. She didn't say it out loud. The Bible says she said within herself, if I may but touch, if I may but touch. I know I'm sick. I know other people don't want me to get to Jesus, but he's passing by. And if I may, but just, it's the story she told herself. that gave her healing, because when she got healed, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She touched the word. I'm telling you, you could get healed today if you would reach out and change this. See, you got a story. You got a story that this is just church. And I'm just here and it's Sunday and I'm going to get something to eat. And that's why you're getting what you're getting. Because of the story you're telling yourself. But she was just sitting there one Sunday. And she was at church. And Peter didn't lay hands on her. And Matthew didn't preach. And John didn't sing a song. She just all of a sudden decided to change the story. She told herself. And she said, why am I waiting on Jesus to touch me? I'm gonna reach out. I'm telling you, if you would get out, change your mind. Stop coming to church waiting on somebody to touch you, make you happy, stir you up, motivate you, love on you and encourage you. Stop waiting on Jesus to touch you and reach out, and you better touch him. If you'll reach out and touch him while he passes by, if you would change the story you tell yourself. It's what you believe. What do you believe? See, my heart breaks because people are free, but they don't know they're free.
That's right.
It's terrible to see somebody free and they don't know they're free.
Right.
It's not that you're not free. It's that you don't know you're free. You've heard people say it, but you don't believe it. You don't believe you're free. That's why the Bible says, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Because there's a difference between being free and being free indeed. If I told you that's a nice shirt and you knew it, you would say, indeed. So when the Bible says, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Yes.
It means it's not enough just to be free. You gotta know. God, help me. You gotta know you're free. Because what good is Jesus dying on the cross for you and setting you free if you don't know? You are free. Now you gotta believe you're free. I can't make you believe it. I can tell you. But this is why every person gets saved alone. You are where you are because of the story you tell yourself. I'm telling you, if you would change the story you tell yourself when you come in this house, if you would just decide, you know what? I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving.
Yes.
I'm going to enter into his courts with praise. I just decided to be thankful. I've decided to bless his name. You know what? I just decided the Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting. I decided that his truth endureth to all generations. And you make a conscious decision that when I give, God sees it. When I serve, God sees it. When I invest, God sees it. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Have I not spoken it in your life? Will I not perform it in your life? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are where you are because of the belief system you have. I'm telling you, when you pray, God hears you. When you worship, he hears you. When you give, he sees you. When you cry, his heart is near you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Your miracle is within your reach. Your dream is within your grasp. And to everybody in here that's feeling old, your latter days I got three people that believe it. Your latter days shall be greater than your former days. Did you get something out of this today? Would you stand with me all over the house? I want to pray for everybody in here. I'm sweating. What is this salty discharge? Faith. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to pray for what you know. I'm praying about what you believe. If you're in here today and you say, Pastor Jonathan, I need to change the story I tell myself. Would you raise your hand? Hands, every hand. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just keep it up for a moment? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your child. Somewhere in the heart that pumps blood to that hand is a dream. I pray that that dream would pull them from their memories. I pray that that hand would reach up and reach out and touch the hem of your garment. Let healing and virtue flow into your children. Bless them. I take authority over fear, anxiety, low self-esteem. We bind it in the name of Jesus. I declare you are not what you did. You are the righteousness of God revealed to this generation. I declare you are the head and not the tail. That you are a child of the King. I declare I don't care how old you are, the best days of your life, you have not lived. You have not lived. They are in front of you. I speak joy. I speak peace. I speak rest. I declare favor over their life in Jesus' name. If you believe that, can you give God some praise today all over the house? Come on. Come on. Give God some praise today. Amen. Johnny, come on up here. Listen. Listen to me. I want you to start living this out. Faith without works is when you walk out of here, or you go to bed at night, or you see something, or you do something, and that memory tries to recapture you. I want you to speak to your destiny.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Because the only thing stronger than a thought is a word.
Yes.
You shall have whatever you say. Your words bring life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Even Jesus, his words alone were such life, they couldn't kill him until he stopped talking. Speak life over your children, over your family. Speak life to your destiny. If I asked you how you got here today, you would say a car brought you. But I would say that's not really true. Because a car couldn't bring you if a thought didn't get you first. You're here because you thought, I'm going to church today. And no tornado, hail, storm, or rain could keep you from your thought. You went through a tornado to get here. Because you had a thought. If you walk out of here with that kind of thought, no storm in life will be able to stop you from where your mind will take you. That's why in slavery they never wanted the slaves to read. Because if you read, you escape in your mind. And if your mind gets free, chains can't hold your body. Satan does not have chains on you. He's trying to capture your mind. You are free indeed. Come on, you believe it today?